Rondo makes his move. Drives again, back to Davis. Davis for three. Bang! Anthony Davis from downtown! And the Lakers take a 9-point lead. Timeout, Miami.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday. I had to look at what day it was right now. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm your host, Dave DeFore. I'm joined by Jay King, Wazzy Lambre, Mo DeKeel. This is the Daily Ding. And guys, I think the Lakers are pretty good. They just defeated the Miami Heat in game four to take a 3-1 series lead, 102-96. Jay, I'm going to start with you. Does this prove your point that the Miami Heat just suck at basketball?
Absolutely not. I thought that the Heat played so well defensively. The Lakers didn't get much. And what they did get was a lot of like KCP, some Markieff Morris. Those guys actually made some plays that made a big difference for them. I didn't think offensively they ever hit a rhythm, the Lakers. The Heat, their defense has held up much better than I thought it would in this series. But the Lakers just got grimy. And they got grimy defensively. They got grimy on the offensive glass. And that's how they won this game. On top of, you know, like I said, big contributions from KCP. And then Anthony Davis was so good defensively.
They showed us the defensive team that they've been all year. Mo, what did you see out of the Lakers that was so different tonight than from game three?
Honestly, I think a lot of it was just aggressiveness. I mean, even AD, just first play out of the gate, he misses the shot, but they're running a play for him, and he's attacking as soon as he gets it on the catch. He's not playing around with anything. And I think altogether, it was just a very aggressive attack. There were some things defensively I didn't like in the first half, a lot of the soft switching and things like that. I felt like they got better as the game went on. And you know, defensively, it improved as it went on. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, they were just able to get to the line, which was something they weren't able to do in the first three quarters. I mean, they got 12 free throws in that quarter. Before that, I think they were at like eight total or something like that. So that was the kind of stuff you saw from the Lakers. And that fourth quarter was kind of their masterpiece.
AD dominated defensively in this game, in particular in the second half. And Waz, we talked about this on Buds. We thought that, you know, if Bam was going to play, that it actually could potentially hurt the Heat. Now, obviously, Bam is a better player than Myers Leonard. I mean, and he was plus three in this game, right? So in 33 minutes, like, they won the minutes with Bam. But it didn't feel like Miami had the versatility that they had offensively the last few games with all the Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard.
Yeah, I just think the Olynyk stuff gives the Lakers an extra dimension of things that they have to think about as far as defensively out at three, right? Like, it makes you question whether you help on a strong or weak side whenever you're guarding somebody who can shoot like Olynyk can. And, you know, part of it was that I thought they should have played Olynyk next to Bam, right? Like, to sort of give them the size plus the shooting at the same time. But I don't think that's why they lost. I think the Lakers finally, you know, found their rhythm on defense, whether it was, you know, they were the lock and trail on Robinson and Hero coming off of screens was just masterful and magnificent. They were in those guys' shirts from the beginning. And then they were being smart about the switches on the perimeter whenever Hero and Duncan screened for each other. The sort of dribble handoff stuff with Bam, they handled that stuff pretty well all night long when Duncan Robinson was coming off the dribble handoff. It's the same thing with, I think what I liked what they did on the Jimmy pick and rolls, obviously, like Mo said, instead of the soft switch, guys were hedging hard and then recovering, right? Like, because AD's falling back. He's so long, he can fall back and recover in time because, you know, he's such a huge guy. And, you know, Jimmy did not want to take outside shots. You know, the special thing about that 40-point game of game three was that he took no threes, right? It was just extreme efficiency in the paint, both floater range and right at the cup, and getting to the free throw line. And this game, he did the same thing. He didn't want to shoot, but But this time, you know, a lot of times when he was doing his drive, his one-on-one, he killed one-on-one game three. This time, one-on-one, it was AD waiting for him. And it's like, yeah.
But he had no space.
Right. You can get,
he had no space.
He can get
right?
to the foul line. He can get to floater range. But taking that shot over AD rather than KCP or Danny Green or Kyle Kuzma, it's mm-hmm. just a completely different proposition.
Well, Jimmy and shooters worked. You know, like we've saw that work. And tonight, I thought Spoelstra went to too many lineups that was just a bunch of non-shooters. At one point, there it was Jimmy.
Way too much.
Jimmy,
Kendrick Nunn,
Andre Iguodala, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo. And it's like, okay, so they got to guard one guy on the perimeter, and then they can just pack the paint. And it was really odd to me that wouldn't be a time where you would get Olynyk out there or Myers Leonard, who didn't even play. And he's been really good in the limited minutes that he played in this series. I thought that was a little bit of a mistake on Spoelstra's part. Not that I, you know, going to sit and second guess the best coach in basketball, but that was a little bit of a mistake. What were you about to say, Mo?
No, I want to go back to the, you know, starting Olynyk and Bam. Well, who are you taking out in the starting lineup? Because you're not going to start Olynyk, Robinson, and Hero. Mm-hmm. You need to have Hero on because you need another playmaker. Robinson's your shooter. So it's like when everybody's always saying, or start Myers Leonard, whichever the two you want, you're putting defensive liabilities out there. And LeBron's just going to sit there going, that's who you're starting? Oh, this is fantastic.
And
this is lunch.
To what Mo's saying, I thought there were points in the second half where they found ways to exploit Duncan and Tyler Hero. The KCP bucket being the biggest one, where it's the end of the shot clock, and he just throws right past him for a layup, puts the Lakers up by 7, and that was essentially it, you know.
Well, I want to talk about KCP because, you know, this is a guy, I think that people still consider him the player that he was in Detroit, which was obviously a much worse team, and maybe even that first year in L.A., this guy is really, really good. He gave them buckets when nobody else was able to do it. He gave them buckets early and he gave them buckets late. But the thing that's most impressive to me is that the guy is hitting shots, Jay, while chasing Duncan Robinson around for entire possessions. I mean, Duncan Robinson is going to have nightmares about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, and he was guarding Hero. He did a good job on Hero. Chasing those guys around is tough because they're always in motion. The Heat, guarding the Heat is so tough because they just cut and they run around screens and they're flying around 100 miles an hour all the time. Duncan Robinson's got to be in some of the best shape in the league to run it around as much as he does. And then at the other end, it wasn't just the shooting from Caldwell Pope. It wasn't just the drive past Robinson that Waz brought up. It was the playmaking too. 5 assists and a lot of them were really nice passes and a lot of them set up AD. He just really made plays, and their half-court offense wasn't great at times. Like, LeBron settled for fadeaway 30-footers. There were some possessions, like, they got bailed out on the Markieff Morris step back near the end of the shot clock, but there were way too many possessions that they were just stagnant and stalled. And KCP, he bailed them out of some of those possessions with some nice passes and penetration. So I thought just his all-around game was really impressive. It wasn't just the shooting or the defending, like it was everything. He gave them everything.
The Lakers had a little bit of a rough game again with the turnovers. Mo, I thought Miami did a really great job of fronting all those post possessions. I mean, they could not make a post entry pass. The Lakers couldn't. Do you think that they're going to get away with that another game, or do you think Lakers are going to counter and start bringing Anthony Davis up higher like they did in the second half of this game?
No, I think they may not be able to get away with the fronting. But, you know, the big thing here, and this is something that's going to kind of get overlooked a little bit, is, you know, the Heat's goal was we're going to protect the paint. I mean, 34 points in the paint for the Lakers is not a lot for this team. You know, they shot pretty well from three, 35%, which is almost 36%, which is kind of, you know, a little bit above their average. But for the Heat, like, their game plan was we're going to protect the paint. And what happened is, and it kind of goes to Jay's point about Caldwell Pope, they overreacted on some of these plays. Like, listen, KCP's driving baseline and he finds Davis for the three. And the reason why is because 4 Heat players are collapsing on Caldwell Pope. Like, you don't do that. Like, you'll live with KCP taking a contested layup against one or two guys. You don't need to all go. Or when he drives down the lane and found AD for the lob, same thing. You don't need to leave AD to go to KCP, stun at him and get back to AD, force a floater. But in your point too, Dave, I just think the Lakers are going to look at the film, and if they continue to front, I think the most obvious thing besides what they did in the second half, which was get him up a little higher, is just flash somebody to the high post and have a little more patience when you're trying to make that entry pass. A lot of times I felt like they rushed it and pushed it.
How's this for a wrinkle, Waz? Anthony Davis should maybe shoot more threes. He's shooting 40% from three on about three attempts a game. He was 2 of 4 tonight, but he had numerous opportunities on the wing. I mean, the guy's a great shooter, but he's really shooting the lights out in the bubble. But he was passing up. They were soft showing, and he was taking the bait and putting the ball on the floor and trying to drive into a packed paint. I think AD needs to shoot.
While I don't disagree with you, I can understand why AD was hesitant to do it. They probably heard, stop shooting jump shots for 48 hours straight. Literally from every single person that talked to them for 48 straight hours. It was, guys, why are you taking 53s? You're bigger than this team. Get to the freaking paint. Get to the foul line. All of that. So I understand that. And at the same time, he shot like 30-something percent from three in mid-range this year, right? Like, he wasn't making his shots this year, which is a down year for him. But, you know, the bubble, he found the stroke. I think I like the volume at which he's taking it because he's still a threat. I think when they do run the pick and roll with him and LeBron, like, it does put the defense in a bind. Like, is he going to pop out? Is he going to roll? Because he's a huge threat vertically. And he's a huge threat, obviously, from outside, which is why I love the Rondo synergy on pick and roll that he has. I thought Rondo was good in this game as one of the only guys who was getting legitimate dribble penetration. Like, he was straight up getting to the basket while still having his dribble, so he has the option of shooting or kicking out to shooters. And Rondo's just been, I know we say this all the time, but he's just been fucking good, man. He's just
And he was one good. Of seven. And his... It's not like he got hot or something.
His offensive rebounding was huge for them.
Dave, it's like he's another grown-up when he has the ball in his hand, right? Like, you feel like, okay, a decent decision is going to get made. And like, he hasn't been afraid to dribble penetrate. And some of those were point-blank layups like that he could probably make. And he made a big layup in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, on a great pick and roll where he caught Bam in between not knowing if he wanted to show hard against Rondo or, you know, guard AD for the lob. So, Rondo was good.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
The offensive rebounding to me was the most important part. Like, what did he have? 3 offensive rebounds, I think, in the second half.
He had 2.
A tip out.
Yeah.
2 and a tip out, I think, then. He had, like, he kept a lot of possessions alive. Caruso did the same thing. Those guys both had key offensive rebounds. The Lakers, like, they're a weird team because they're a team led by 2 superstars, top 5, top 10 players, wherever you want to put AD in there. I know that's a sore subject, but they're a weird team because they do have that superstar talent, but they're still they have to win grimy. Like, they have to get the offensive rebounds. They have to play defense. Like, that's their path to winning. And I think they kind of forgot that in game 3. I think in game 3, especially after watching game 4, it stood out how easy they were letting Jimmy Butler get switches and just get to his spots in game 3. Game 4, especially the second half, they did a much better job of going under screens, forcing him to have the tougher matchup in Anthony Davis. And I thought that made a huge, huge difference. Jimmy was 5 for 5 in the first quarter. Did he even make a field goal attempt after that? I'm not sure he did. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but he was – Anthony Davis limited his effectiveness, and he didn't want to shoot.
Dwight Howard only played 8 minutes in this game, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Anthony Davis played the majority of his minutes as the five, which, you know, we all know the running joke, right? That he is a five. He just refuses to do it. But, I mean, they were plus 17 in Anthony Davis's 42 minutes. He is dominant.
That's a big difference. And it's a big difference from what he was in game three. Like, you know, the defensive rating in game three for Anthony Davis, the Lakers were 127 defensive rating, 127 with him on the court. And in the 15 minutes he was off, 90. Like, that's you know, almost a 40-point swing there, guy. I mean, it was a massive difference. I obviously don't have the number out now because the advanced stats aren't out yet. But I'll tell you what, it was not right. That tonight. Like, he came in and was like, I'm here to defend now. It was such a different game from him all around, offensively and defensively, with just his mindset, I really felt like was the case.
So where does Miami go from here? I mean, they're down 3-1. You know, historically, we know it's not great. The bubble has been different, and Miami is definitely a different team. Jay, do they have a counter to Anthony Davis is the best defender on the court for 42 minutes? I don't think they do.
I don't think they have a counter. I'm not sure they need much of one. Like, just get a few more makes. Their defense has held up very well over the last couple of games. They have done a great job against the Lakers, especially in the half court. And, you know, if Jimmy Butler has a more normal game, if Tyler Hero makes shots, if Kendrick Nunn doesn't go two for way too many, then they have a chance. Their defense will give them a chance if they keep defending, if they keep limiting the paint, if they keep forcing guys like Caldwell Pope and Markieff Morris to beat them. Because LeBron, obviously, he had a pretty good game, but the turnovers for the second straight game have been a factor. Anthony Davis had a great game, but a lot of that was defense. It wasn't like he was killing them offensively. The Heat's game plan defensively has just been really, really good, and it's worked. And they've limited everything the Lakers want to do. It's going to be tough to score against the Lakers defense. But they were right there in that game. It wasn't like it was non-competitive or anything like that. So I just think the key for them will be finding ways to free Butler to not just to score, but to make plays. Like, he made plays for everybody in game three. Game four, what the Lakers did to take him away, took away all the playmaking that he had too. And I think without Dragic, there just wasn't enough playmaking.
He still wound up with 9 assists, right? Like, so, and it's funny to look at the stat sheet and feel like he still left some on the table. I still think it's Jimmy and shooters. And having Bam out there obviously changes the geometry of the court. I don't know. Like, they're better with Bam. I'm not arguing that they aren't. But I think they've got to find a way to make it so that at worst – your only non-shooters are Butler and Bam. You know, like, that's it. And those guys basically need to be ready to play 45 minutes. 48 minutes, yeah. Probably.
And,
right,
but Wise? And here's the problem, though. They have to win 3 straight. And I'm old enough to remember game one where the Lakers just had a hot shooting half. And it was over at halftime. And that's basically why this is over to me. Because the threes that the Lakers get – are, again, not that Markieff Morris is a great shooter or KCP or Danny Green used to be. I don't know what the fuck happened to him.
Hey, relax. Relax.
Rondo, you know, like, but these shots are wide open and a lot of them are corner threes. And you figure the Lakers just make 3 or 4 more of these in any of these games and it's a blowout. That's why I'm just like, this series is over. If the Lakers even get semi-hot from three in any of these games, it's done. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's unfortunate that Dragic went down and Bam went down. But that's that. Them bees the breaks. You know, like it happened.
You guys think this is over Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, here's the thing. You know, they win game three behind a great Jimmy performance, but it's also the Lakers played bad. Right. Like, the for the Heat to win, and this isn't, I mean, people may get upset about it, But for the Heat to win, it's because the Lakers have to play really bad. If both teams are playing well and it's a close game, the Lakers have more weapons at the end of the day just because of all the injuries. And there's nothing, you know, when everybody's like, well, what's Miami going to do? There isn't anything they can do, plain and simple, unless they could find a way to fix the torn plantar fasciitis in Dragic overnight and pull a scientific miracle. There isn't anything they really can do. They just got to hope. They got to go out there, play with their intensity, and hope the Lakers have bad games. But to expect that that's going to happen three more times, nah, it's done.
Is Anthony Davis everybody's MVP right now?
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, listen, is. LeBron, we all know LeBron puts up the numbers. I think Anthony Davis's defense, I mean, you just cannot replicate that.
He's not my MVP. He was terrible in game three. Like, he was just horrible. He was just completely horrible. If he was anywhere near good, they won that game and the series is over. Like, he's not my MVP. I mean, maybe he'll have a crazy game. He'll drop 40 and destroy Jimmy Butler again, and he'll just make it like an issue for people to pick against him. But I think game three right now is going to disqualify him because the numbers are going to be pretty close and probably tilt towards LeBron. And you know nobody counts defense in these fucking votes.
I know, which is unfortunate. So, I hope KCP gets a vote. Even though everybody knows he has no chance.
He won't stop. What I can see, though, is LeBron going off in game five in the closing scenario and things like that. I could see LeBron having the 45-point triple-double, you know, to close it and clinch finals number four, and all of that. So and that would seal the deal for the MVP for him.
Before we go, I just want to point out the last stretch of the third quarter was so devastating for the Heat. They should have had the last shot. Tyler Hero shoots with like 7 seconds left or whatever it was. They foul with 4.7 seconds left. Instead of it being three with a chance to cut it, it's all of a sudden five going into the fourth. That's a huge swing, man. You can't afford in a series when you're out talented and when you're injured to have moments like that where you just give away keys.
That whole last minute of the third quarter really was a backbreaker for them, I thought. Even leading into it, like 3.5 minutes to the end of the third. And this stuff, it happens, man. Like, you're playing with young players. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, like, just never been there before. Bam Adebayo. I mean, I think that this is where the experience that the Lakers have really shows. Having, you know, Jimmy Butler is great, but he doesn't command a game the way LeBron James does. I don't know if Jimmy is a calming influence for those young guys yet. I don't know if he could be. Maybe LeBron couldn't. You know, like, rookies, the lights shine a little bit brighter. You're in the finals. You know, you get a little bit tight. Although I don't think Tyler Hero's ever been nervous a single second in these games.
That kid shoots it.
His
bro.
Confidence
when he shoots
is
it,
something
I think
special.
It's going in because he shoots it with the confidence of a Larry Bird, dare I say it.
I mean.
Wow. All right. Well, now that Waz is called
Tyler Hero
Larry Bird.
We got to find that out. Big Waz investigates.
Indiana and Wisconsin is seriously. The same thing to watch.
That's a good point.
Let's be honest. Indiana it's the same as
Nebraska, Omaha. Omaha's.
But before that, too, the other backbreaking moment, though, for this game, and sorry, guys, I know I'm holding everybody up. It was a 2-point game. Jimmy Butler misses the three. Then KCP knocks down the three in transition. They go up five. Then Bam gets makes the shot, but it's not in time. And they don't, you know, they get a shot clock violation. I mean, from that point on, it was over. Because then I think Rondo hits a layup after that, or somebody hits a shot after that. At that point,
KCP layup, but yeah,
it just kind of at that point it just ended everything for them. And I think that sort of was the real backbreaker for the Heat.
Yeah, it's a shame. Miami's been a really fun team to watch. I know that Jay King completely disrespects them, but the rest of us.
What's funny is because I have disrespected them all along, but I actually love watching them play. Like, they play beautiful basketball. They compete like hell. They play together. Watching them run around screens and cut is really just glorious for basketball nerds like me. But I have disrespected them all along, so you get all of it.
That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Of course, the Athletic NBA show featuring all of us kind of throughout the week. Make sure you check that out. House of Strauss, all the team shows that we've got. No Dunks. Subscribe to the shows that you like. Use the comment section. We are actually checking those comments because, you know, we really appreciate the feedback. If you're not a member of The Athletic, go over there now. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. Sign up for $1 a month. It's crazy. I don't know how they afford to pay Jay King's salary, only charging people $1 a month. The guy is getting paid. Thank you guys for waking up with us. We'll be back Saturday morning after game 5. Where we all expect the Lakers to just close it out and be the champions. Guys, on two, take us home. One, two.
Ding, ding, ding-a-ling.
Ding, ding, ding.